Nice to see you all who have come to the meeting this evening. Trust that you'll be blessed as we talk about the most important thing on earth and the most important thing in life. 201 is our opening hymn. 201. It is finished. What a gospel. Nothing has been left to do but to take with grateful gladness what the Saviour did for you. And then it says, it is finished. What a gospel. Jesus died to save your soul. Have you? Now this is the question. Have you taken his salvation? Have you let him make you whole? Standing, and we'll sing this lovely hymn together.
It is finished, what a gospel, nothing I have been left to do, but to take with grateful gladness what the Savior did for me. Jesus died to save your soul, and you take in his salvation. Have you let him make you whole? His faith is hallelujah. Christ the Word to lead us. Let me just make the announcements at this moment. The next meeting in the hall, and of course the welcome to all who are in the hall and those online, and everyone, as you know, is given a very warm welcome every Lord's Day in the hall here. The speaker always, and especially to the young folk, not just as many tonight, but we're glad to see you. Thank you for coming, and we do appreciate your presence here with us. Now, Thursday at 7:45, we all know there's the prayer meeting and the Bible study, and the passage is 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 to 7. Next Lord's Day, 11, the breaking of bread, 6:30, the prayer meeting, 7 p.m., the gospel meeting, and we have a speaker, Mr. Ian Biggerstaff. Ian Bigger, grow up. Does he not go to Ballinahinch now? But anyway, maybe I've got it wrong. But it doesn't matter. Ian, tonight's speaker, well, everybody knows the speaker. And all are warmly invited, subject to the Lord's will. And of course, all these announcements Every Lord's Day, every gospel meeting I go to, there's a little note at the bottom and it says, DV. DV. Sometimes it's not mentioned. It just means if God spares you. God may not spare you. For the Bible says we don't know what a day may bring forth. And that's very important. We're going to pray. Our Father, another time now has given us the great privilege and opportunity of to open thy book and from the sacred pages therein to speak about one who gave us life that we might be redeemed. We can't understand it and we don't understand it fully, but the little knowledge that we have, O God, it bows our heart in worship that God's own Son should come from heaven to die, to save a child like me. And so we look to thee another night, and look to thee another time, and just ask that thou will bless the word that we read from thy truth. It is the word that is a lamp to the feet, and a light to the path, and both saint and sinner needs thy word. And it's the opening of thy word. It's the enlightenment of it. And so we look to thee for our need. And for the poor mortal that stands upon the platform and would open the sacred book and read the truth of God, how he feels his need. O God, that the Holy Spirit of God would take control all his thoughts and words and deeds, and that above all things God will be glorified. Not even tonight in Newton Breda, there may be someone listening online or in the hall that they might come and put their trust in thy beloved Son for salvation. This is our prayer. This is our plea. And we look to thee for it and ask for blessing in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now just a verse that is so well known. It's spoken about in the Lord's Day morning, most mornings. It's in John chapter 19. And of course, it's that lovely verse number 30. John 19 and verse number 30. It says, when Jesus therefore, that's an important word, therefore. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head. And he gave up the spirit. He died. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he cried, it is finished. And he bowed his head. No doubt he bowed it on his breast. He had nowhere to lay it in this world, for they had no part for him. They had no place for him. But now, he bows his head, he places it no doubt on his breast, and he returns the spirit to God who gave it. He died. That's our reading. And we want to think about those little words. It is finished. It is finished. There are many things in this world today that you know when they're finished, there's big, big parties and there's big opening ceremonies. And really, as far as you and I are concerned, there's no value in them. You and I have no part in them. They're nothing really to do with us. The world has their big, big monstrosities. And you and I really have no part. I remember as a young boy in primary school, I used to love the teacher when she said, or when I heard the bell go, I knew it was finished. School was finished for the day. And then I used to think, but I've got to come back tomorrow again. I've got to come back tomorrow. And then when I progressed in school, as we all did, they started to give us these things that they called homework. And sometimes I battled because I wasn't listening during the day. And when I was finished my homework, after maybe a battle sometimes, I said, "Mommy, it's finished." And then, of course, it hit me. I'd have another one tomorrow night, and another one the next night, and so forth. That word, finished, complete. And you and I use it at times, and as I thought even then as a child, but it's not finished. It's not finished. I'll have to repeat it again and again and again. And these young folk at school, well, they know what it's all about. But we have read tonight. We have read from the Holy Scriptures of truth about one who cried, "It's finished," once. Never, ever to be repeated again. Never ever having to utter those words again. He cried with a loud voice, "It's finished." And I believe that it went through heaven, and it went through earth, and it went through the very hell itself. Finished! Finished! The cry went forth. That's why we sang that lovely hymn tonight. It is finished. What a gospel! Nothing left for us to do. As I thought of that word, I had four questions that came before me. The first question that I had to think about was, who was it that uttered these words? On what authority had he to utter these words? Who was it that uttered the words? On what authority had he to utter these words? And then as I thought of the verse, I said, where was this person when he uttered these words? And my mind again went through many scriptures, and we talk about that. And then another question came. What was it that he finished? And what effect has it on you tonight, 2,000 years later on? This cry that went forth, "'Tis finished!" Oh, we have got to understand very clearly and simply what this cry was all about and what it has wrought for us. And of course, the implications of it, as far as you're concerned, as far as I'm concerned. The Bible, the verse that we read, it tells us very clearly who it was. It says, when Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar. You say, what is this word, therefore? It just means, it says, for this reason. Wherefore, another lovely word says, for what reason? Therefore says, for this reason. And if we had read the verse previous to the one we did, we would have heard another cry from the Lord Jesus. And that cry was, I thirst. I thirst. I thirst. We've got to see the reason why he cried, "It is, I thirst." Brethren, in the prayer meeting, we're praying about the lovely heat and the sun of this day, and we do thank God for it. We have got to understand why this man, this blessed man, this holy man, why he cried, "I thirst. I thirst." You know, looking at it, to understand it, it says, when Jesus. Oh, what a lovely name. You know, away in the Old Testament, in the prophet, I think it's Micah, isn't it? Micah would say that there was a virgin and she was going to give birth to a son. And his son would be called Emmanuel. Now, I have never heard anyone called Emmanuel in my life, but it means God with us. So there's only one person who could ever have that lovely name, God with us. Are you saying that the God who we believe created the heavens and the earth and put all the planets into their orbits and put this little ball that we live in earth and set it there and the sun and the moon and all the animal creation and the human creation? I just heard the other day of a relative, not a saved chap, studying medicine at Cambridge, and he told one of our sons, he said, the body, the human body, is so intricate, so detailed, so finely tuned. He says he didn't admit it, but I think in the back of his mind he was saying it was only an omnipotent hand could have ever brought her into being. That's the one who, through the womb of the Virgin Mary, he came into this world. And just as he was rejected then, he's rejected now. God, who was it that cried, "It's finished"? Oh, it was none other than eternal God in the form of his beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as a boy, he lived in Nazareth. They called him the Carpenter of Nazareth. They called him Jesus of Nazareth. And as many will know, Nazareth was a despised place. Yet he took upon that name himself, Jesus of Nazareth, the Carpenter. When he came into manhood as a 30-year-old, he left the carpentry and he went about. And the Bible says that he went about healing, doing good, those who were oppressed of the devil. For he was God. God was with him. And he went about healing. And the people marveled at him. The people rejoiced at him. The people said, never anyone spake like him. The religious leaders, the Pharisees and the scribes and all of they never spoke like this man. They never did the wonders that he has done. And yet, for some reason, they hated him without a cause. The one who gives sight to the blind, the one who raised the dead, the one who fed the multitude. Oh, we could spend the next moments talking of all. This was eternal God. This was the one whom our Bible said when Jesus cried with a loud voice, "It's finished." You say, sir, what authority had he to cry this cry? He was God. And he knew there was a problem in this world, a problem that you have got, and a problem that this speaker has got, a problem that's called sin. S-I-N. We sing it with young people, at least we used to. Sin's a very little word. Be very careful it doesn't become your master. You say, sin? What is sin? Oh, sin is disobedience to the Bible, to the Word of God. And the Bible says, as by one man sin entered into the world, so death by sin. I had a friend. He traveled the world. He was a sailor. And my friend asked him, he says, tell me, is there sin
in every part of the world. This big man looked at him and he said, there's sin in every part of the world. Why? He said, because there's death. Death. Death in every part of the world. And the one whom we've been reading about, Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, the Eternal One, he cried this one day. He allowed himself to be taken by wicked hands, taken outside the city of Jerusalem, and there upon a cross, between two thieves, he allowed himself to be pinned to that cross. Nails through his hands, nails through his feet, and a side that was pierced, and a body that was mutilated. You say, mister, I don't understand. You know, neither do I. Neither do I. I don't understand why he allowed himself to be taken. Why he allowed himself to be taken by Roman soldiers and hung upon a cross. I don't understand why. Ah, but wait. There's the answer. For God so loved the world that He gave, parted with His beloved Son, that He might pay the price of redemption, that He might pay the price of that thing called sin. That thing called sin that would bar people from heaven. My Bible tells me that in heaven there's no sin. Oh, there's sinners, but their sins have been forgiven. And upon that cross, in all his agony, he cried, it's finished. He cried, it's finished. Between two thieves. You say, mister, what was finished? What was finished? The debt that you couldn't pay? The debt that I couldn't pay? Because of our sin? That which would keep us out of heaven? That which would land us in hell and the lake of fire? He allowed himself to be taken. He allowed himself to be impaled upon a cross. He allowed himself to bear the righteous judgment of God that you could be forgiven. That I could be forgiven. That the world, that those who would come and accept Him as their Savior, their sins could be forgiven. Why? Because He paid the price. He paid the debt. You know, years ago, there was a dear man and he was found guilty of a certain crime. He was brought before the judge. And the judge says, you've been found guilty. Yes, I've been found guilty. But the judge says, here's a pardon. He says, I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want it. That's what's happening in this world today. Oh, there's a pardon. A pardon from the guilt of your sin and my sin, the sin of the world, the Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus. He cried, it's finished. I have paid the debt for Peter Morrison. Now if Peter Morrison puts his trust in me, his sins of the past, his sins of the present, his sins of the future are gone. For he says, I have paid the price. He
He says, it's finished. God, our holy God, He's very, very righteous. But He's happy to forgive the sinner who believes in Jesus because the price has been paid. You say, Mister, you've told us who it was, the Lord Jesus. You've told us where He was when He cried, it's finished, on the cross. You've told us about His authority, that He was eternal God. You've told us what it's all about. What He has finished. What He has paid. Now you've also told us the responsibility is ours. You know what my next question? I'll have to stop. You know my next question is? When? When are you going to avail yourself? When are you going to avail yourself of the great work of redemption that the Lord Jesus has accomplished at Calvary, when He suffered the wrath of God against sin? When are you going to come into the good of it, the blessing of it? You see, Mister, how can I come into the blessing of it? How can I come into... Oh, the Bible's full of invitations. He says, come unto me. Come unto me. Not to the gospel hall, no. Not to the people that come to the gospel hall, no. The Lord Jesus says, come unto me. What did John 3:16 says? Whosoever believeth in Him, He's the one. He's the only one. He's the only one who forgives sins. Why? Because He paid the price. He bore the judgment. He bore the wrath of God. He suffered that we might live. Thank God. There was two men. They came after a period of time when the Savior, when He bore the judgment of God and died. And they took Him down from the cross and they put Him in a tomb. And on the third day, there was men went and there was ladies went. And they looked in and there was none there. The body that had been placed was gone. Say, what happened? He was raised again from the dead. The Savior who died is a living Savior. And tonight He's at God's right hand. The invitation is, come to me. Some time ago, some years, at the end of a gospel meeting, a young man in his late teens came down the hall, sobbing, crying. I want to be saved. I want to be saved. I want to have salvation. And then he added, but I want to do something for it. I want to do something. But he was told very clearly, the work has been done. And when asked, what would you do? He says, I don't know. But he says, I want something to do. He was told very clearly, there's nothing you can do except come. Just come as you are. Just come as you are. A sinner. Because the price has been paid. He left crying, saying, I want to do something. Sometime later, heard that he had got saved. Man asked, what did you do? He says, I just took it as a gift. I just did as you said. Come. And I just came as I was. Just as a sinner. I put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to the Bible. He cried, it's finished. The debt's paid. The way to heaven is clear and plain. Repent. Believe on the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says, be born again. Can you do it? Many years ago, and I'll stop. There was a landlord in England. Oh, he had a big domain. He had many tenant farmers. And each of them owed him quite a lot of money. He was a Christian. He thought about this and he put a big notice right round the farm, right round the domain. And it said, a meeting is to be held at such and such a place, and such a day, and such a time. And these were all placed round the large domain. When the tenant farmers saw it, they mumbled and they grumbled and they said, he just wants to put us out of our homes because we can't pay the debt. The debt, we can't pay the debt. And he's going to push us out of our homes. The day came and the clock came to the point. His lordship was sitting in his office and the door was open. These tenant farmers gathered outside. They knew that the clock had started to tick, 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 and the time was running out. It was one farmer, one old man. He says, I'm going in. And then he went. His lordship was sitting there. He named him by his name. And the man started to plead. He said, I have nothing to pay. I have no money to give you. I have nothing. His lordship said, have you got your account? He says, I have. He says, give it to me. His lordship took it. He just wrote over it, paid in full, and signed his name. He gave it back. There you are. Paid in full the debt. He rushed out through the door and you can see that debt's paid. It's paid in full. The signature's there. And when he said that, the other farmers or tenants, they tried to rush in. But the clock had come to the final and the door was closed. And they missed the offer. Every time I preach the gospel, I fear that some will hear and they'll miss the offer. The offer. Come unto me. Come unto me. Die. I will give you rest. Could you come? Could you come? Just as you are. He knows all about you. He understands you. And he cares about you. For he died and was buried and was raised that you might be saved. And tonight he pleads with you. Come unto me. And I will give you rest. We'll have to stop. May the Lord bless. Our Father, we look to thee for thy blessing upon thy word. That indeed someone in the gathering tonight or someone listening at home might come to that realization. Jesus, I will trust thee.
Lord, look upon us, we pray. Pardon us. Accept our thanks in the Savior's precious name. Amen. A little verse from 257, I think it is. Yes, verse 257, verse number 1, and verse number 3, and verse number 5, and we'll just remain seated as we sing. Once again, the gospel message from the Savior you've heard, will you heed the invitation? Will you turn? Will you seek the Lord? Jesus, that was the one we were reading about. Jesus, for your choice is waiting. Tarry not at once, decide, while the Spirit now is striving. Yield and seek the Savior's side. Now, as I always say, if I have said something that you're not happy with or you're not sure of, you talk to me at the door. We let the Bible answer the questions. 257 verses 1, 3 and 5, and our meeting is over.
Once again, the gospel message from the Savior you have heard, will you heed the invitation? Will you turn and seek the Lord? Come on, Jesus.